This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Okay, this is Mary Brady with AvWeb, and today we're talking with Miles O'Brien, who until recently was a science reporter and aviation reporter for CNN, and recently he's been in Africa with Patty Wagstaff and a bunch of other people working with the pilots of the Kenya Wildlife Service and making a documentary film about it. So, Miles, can you tell us a little bit today about your experience in Africa?
Yeah, well, Mary, first of all, real pleasure to be with you. I'm such a huge fan of everything AvWeb does, and it's, I'm a big fan, first-time caller kind of thing. So thank you for letting me participate in all this. This project was a big surprise to me. I really didn't know much about what it was like to be in Africa, and what my experience, I guess, was pretty much neutral of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and Discovery Animal Planet, right? And so my view of it was not really with a full degree of understanding of the challenges that are faced by a country like Kenya as it tries to protect its most valuable resource, its animals, its big and endangered animals. And I certainly didn't know anything about these pilots who work for the Kenya Wildlife Service, a dozen of them in all, who, against all odds and with minimal training and in very, bare minimum standard aircraft, patrol these huge swaths of land with as alone as any pilot could be, with a couple of hundred hours in the logbook, the keys to a Super Cub, and the mission to protect elephants from poachers and rhinoceros from poachers. It's a staggering task, and it's such an important job. The poachers come in Somalia, heavily armed. They got rocket-propelled grenades, and they're determined to get those tusks and that rhino's horn. And these guys are really the first line of defense as this country tries to protect these valuable animals. So to see them, meet them, see how they do their job, and see how they can be helped by the likes of Patty was just an experience I'll never forget.
And what was your role over there? Were you just making the film, or were you also flying with them, or what exactly was going on?
Yeah, I am. I'm on the board of the Lindbergh Foundation, the Charleston A. and Anna Morrow Lindbergh Foundation, which this year helped fund Patty's delegation of pilots and helpers do what they can to get these pilots, make them a little safer as they do their mission, this low and slow flying over the savannas for these poachers. And so I was approached by Knox Bridges, who's the president of the Lindbergh Foundation, and he said, would you be willing to come over and document this, and we can tell the story of the pilots, of the animals, and of the Lindbergh Foundation's role in all of this. And I just thought it sounded like such a fun project to do, and such a great way to get an introduction to Africa that I really wanted to do it right away. At the time, I was still working for CNN, and I doubted that I would be able to get the time to do it. And then come December, CNN made it possible for me to have plenty of time to do it. And so so all of a sudden, the trip just kind of came together. It was one of those things that was meant to be, and I got the chance to fly with them, but I wasn't there in any instructional role. I was just there to document it.
Okay, and then once you got back, did you also do all the production on the film?
Yes, I did. I shot the film myself. My wife, Sandy, was very helpful and instrumental in helping me get the thing done and in the field. And then when I came back, I put it all together, wrote it. I didn't actually do the editing. I, through the good graces of a friend of mine at CNN, Dave Boots, who's also a pilot, who also caught and sort of got the passion for the project that I thought was necessary, basically volunteered his time to edit the 30-minute documentary, which was, and he did a wonderful job. He really took my script and my vision for the piece and took it to another level. It was fantastic.
Great, and I know you screened it at Sun and Fun, and it got a great reception there, and what do you plan to do with the film next?
Well, you know, it's gosh, Sundance, I suppose. No, I don't. You know, it's really funny, Mary. I've you know, all my years, I've done I don't know, 8 or so documentaries, how length goes, and I've never had the experience of premiering one in front of a live audience. I've never been more nervous in my life with any sort of projects, because I you know, you don't get that instantaneous feedback. So having an audience there of 1,000 people, and they laughed at the right places, and they were horrified at the right places, and they clapped, and they stayed, and they asked questions. That was just, it was just fantastic. So I'd love to go. I'd like to take it on the road and do more showings like that, especially among pilots, because they get it, and they also they certainly connect with the people in this story, because it's all about flying, and more importantly, flying being used, flying small aircraft, and having those aircraft and those pilots in such a crucial role, I think pilots really resonate with. Because, you know, frankly, as you know, in the mainstream media, a lot of people perceive general aviation as a bunch of fat cats and Gulfstreams or whatever you want to say. You know, the guys, auto executives flying to Washington with the pink cup in their hand and their Gulfstreams, and it's nice to see general aviation portrayed in a way that shows it as being really useful and performing really a crucial function. So anywhere that I can go tell that story, and then also once I've got them in the tent, tell them a little bit about the Lindbergh Foundation and its mission, which is to foster technological solutions to environmental problems, which of course fits this story very nicely, and especially when you add the fact that it happens to be planes and you know, solo pilots over in very lonely places. It seemed like the perfect fit for the Lindbergh Foundation. So it does get the message across for the foundation, which I'm very committed to as well.
Great. Now, I know the foundation plans to remain committed to this project, and Patty will be going back there again in the future. Do you think you'll be going back?
Well, if I were to go back, I don't know how I would do the movie any differently. But, you know, if I can come up with an excuse to go back, I'd go in a heartbeat. I had such a good time. And it truly was a trip for a trip of a lifetime. One of those bucket list trips for me. And I really, until I was right next door to a pride of lions or feeding an orphaned elephant with a bottle, that's when it really connects with you. And you can't go there and not walk away without being an environmentalist and having an appreciation for how rare and wonderful these animals are and how much they need to be protected, and how important aviation is to all of that, and how it's such a key piece for keeping these animals alive.
And will you be screening the film at Oshkosh, at AirVenture?
Yes, we have a date for the Theater in the Woods. I believe it is... I don't have in front of me, is it Tuesday the 28th, I believe, of July is the date. And check me on that, but I think that's the date. And so we will be there, and we'll play the movie, and we're going to have a panel talk afterwards, so pilots who are there can ask questions about the mission and what it was like to train these gentlemen, all of them were men, and the cultural barriers, and, you know, things like... One of the pilots happens to be a member of the Maasai tribe, and it's very tribal there. And the Maasai are nomadic people who are, you know, cattle herders, essentially. There's not a lot of aviation tradition there. And so what you get there is a sense that the commitment that these guys have to become pilots is hard for us to really appreciate. This is a nation where the average income for the year is $1,600. So imagine what it takes for them to decide to become a pilot. And so in a sense, they are the most committed aviators you'll ever want to meet, because in order to fly, they have to make great sacrifices. And they also have this sense of being on a very important mission to save the animals of their country.
Well, it's great that you can get that message out in this film. And also, we were a fan of your work on CNN, and I'm wondering what's next for you. Are you going to keep your hand in as an aviation reporter, or do you have any other projects in the works?
Yeah, I've been really busy, surprisingly, Mary, and it's been really gratifying. Who would have thought that getting fired would be for your ego, but it has been. phone really hasn't stopped ringing, and it's been very gratifying to me to get that kind of interest. I have a blog, and you can see it at www.milesobrien.com, no apostrophe in there. And I've actually been writing a fair amount about aviation and space, and I've tweet and Facebook, all that stuff. So I'm keeping my voice out there as when it comes to aviation. I've been talking to some people and some organizations about doing stories which kind of follow this theme of general aviation being used in ways that are useful, telling the story of general aviation for what it is, not the kind of stereotypical caricature of the fat cat businessman. And wherever I can find an opportunity to do that, I'm going to keep doing that. I took this project in a nice long piece for AOPA Pilot, and that'll appear in the, I think it's the July issue. It'll come out, and my wife did the still photos for that. And I've been also working on a bunch of other projects that involve video. I've been covering the launches of the space shuttles on a streaming them out on the web at a website called spaceflightnow.com, which has been fascinating. I just got back from Florida, as a matter of fact, where I spent, we did 6 solid hours on the air, no commercials, and covered the launch of Atlantis on its last mission to repair the Hubble Space Telescope, and had just about every famous astronaut you could imagine on there talking about Hubble and the mission and the future of the space program. And it was really a lot of fun, and we drew a tremendous audience, upwards of 30,000 people at a time, the world over, watching on this streaming content and participating concurrently in a chat. It was so exciting, and it was narrow casting in every sense of the word, and it was we found an audience, an engaged audience, and they really engaged us in a 6-hour conversation about space set against the backdrop of a shuttle launch. It was really cool. So I came away with it realizing that you don't need CNN to tell a story anymore. The technology is such that you and I can have this conversation as a podcast, and people plug in their iPods and listen to it, or they can stream out a shuttle launch, or they can go to a blog and read what I have to say about the latest NTSB investigation on the Colgan Continental crash in Buffalo. So there's a lot of ways to communicate these days, and people are thirsting for content that is comes with a degree of expertise. And somebody like me, who had a lot of years at CNN to build that expertise, I kind of have an advantage in this marketplace where people sort of have a brand of one. So it's been really gratifying.
That's great. Well, I'm glad to hear it, and I'm glad we'll still see the Miles O'Brien byline out there. And thanks again for your time, and thanks for telling us about your experience in Africa. And again, this is Mary Grady with AvWeb. I've been talking with Miles O'Brien, and that's it for today.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.